Annual congregational meeting following our worship service today. At the end of worship, either just remain kind of in your area and sit down. We will take just a couple of minutes while we get robes off and put microphones out and stuff like that, but we do invite you to stay as we have important things to consider. And then I'll remind you, we do have a congregational dinner in the fellowship hall following our meeting. So we have a big day here at Redeemer. We look forward to sharing it all together. In your bulletins, hopefully you found the form for poinsettias one more time. The deadline is tomorrow at noon. Tomorrow at noon. Make sure everybody hears that. That's when the deadline is, so please turn that in by then. Amanda, you're up. Well, that's a first. I was thinking, Amanda, that, you know, maybe you, talking about rally day, you were such a cheerleader, maybe you should have done that with a pom-pom or something.
Next week.
All right, then I'll push it, and you can come up with a cheer and do it on your scooter.
Don't tempt me.
All right. Let us prepare for our worship. Please rise if you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God, the whole company of heaven, and our sisters and brothers in this community. Merciful God, we come before you, beloved but broken. We have not always treated others as we would want them to treat us. We have not always called out injustice and abuse. We have not always taken care of the world we share with other living creatures. Remind us of who we are, beloved children bathed in your love. Renew us by your Spirit to live as your holy people, bringing healing to the brokenness around us. Amen. How blessed are those whose sins are forgiven. In the mercy of Almighty God, I announce to you the entire forgiveness of your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. The God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. Now is the feast of the Lamb once slain, whose blood has united us to be one great people of God. Celebration, all of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. God, riches, wisdom, and might, all honor and glory is Christ. Us to make us people of God, to make all things new. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy to the God of life and
the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our eternal Redeemer, by the presence of your Spirit, you renew and direct our hearts. Keep always in our mind the end of all things and the day of judgment. Inspire us for a holy life here, and bring us to the joy of the resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Thank you. A reading from Job. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and with lead they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold and not another. The word of the Lord. A reading from 2 Thessalonians. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by this letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God, our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and hope, good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him all of them are alive." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
There's an old story that comedian Jerry Clower tells about a man named Uncle Zias Ledbetter. It seems that Uncle Zias was an elder in his small backwoods country church, but he didn't often go to the meetings. He had decided that the young folks, those about 50 or 60, could handle the business of the church. Then one day he got wind that they were about to spend some money, and so he got his nephew to take him to the meeting. There the proposal was made to buy a chandelier for the church. Uncle Zias stood up and said, "I'd like to speak against the motion for three reasons. First, if we were to buy this chandelier, when we got out to Sears and Roebuck catalog to place our order, there ain't nobody in our church with enough education who would know how to spell it. And second, if we did order it and it came, there ain't nobody in our church who knows how to play it. And what I'm concerned about most of all is that we don't need to be spending this money on no chandelier as bad as we need lights in the church." It's pretty clear that Uncle Zias Ledbetter had no idea what he was talking about. Neither did the Sadducees in our gospel reading today. The Sadducees came to Jesus with a hypothetical situation concerning a woman who had had seven husbands and the question of, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Now, you might wonder, why would anybody bother asking Jesus that kind of question? Well, here's the background. You may never have thought about it, but at the time, there were two groups in Israel kind of bickering with each other about a serious issue. If we wanted to compare it to today, you might say these groups represented two different denominations. We know those other groups are part of the Christian family, but we seem to do a lot of bickering about our differences instead of focusing on what we have in common. Well, that same kind of thing was going on then, too. So in that day, there were the Pharisees who sort of served like rabbis in Judaism do today. They were out in the communities and among the people teaching and preaching in synagogues. And then there were the Sadducees. These were largely the priests in the temple in Jerusalem. And after the Romans destroyed the temple a few years after this, there really weren't any more Sadducees around. But at this time, the disagreement between the two groups was significant. The Pharisees said that there was life after death. The Sadducees said that there wasn't. So when the Sadducees came to Jesus with this weird question, they were attempting to get him to come down on one side or the other in this controversy. You see, when they asked him whose wife she would be in the resurrection, they figured that either Jesus wouldn't be able to answer, or he would have to say that there really was no life after death after all. You see, it wasn't just a question. It was a trap. And either Jesus would come down on their side, or he'd end up looking like a fool with no way to answer. Now, what's interesting is that Jesus doesn't so much as answer them as dismiss them. He told them that heaven can't be compared to anything here on earth, that things there are different. And then the kicker, Jesus points out that when God introduces himself to Moses, he says that he is the God of Abraham and the others, not that he was the God of Abraham and the others. They had all died long ago, but God is still their God, meaning that they are alive in God, that there is life after death, and we ought not to waste our time on such arguments, but give ourselves to God. Can you imagine how Jesus must have felt standing there as they argued about this, while at the same time ignoring the poor, the hungry, or the sick, or the lonely all around them? Quit wasting my time, Jesus seems to be saying. Instead of arguing about this kind of nonsense, get busy being a part of the kingdom of God. Get busy caring for your neighbor. Get busy living out the gospel. Put all this argument about faith behind you and start being faithful. You know, sometimes we too are captive to the tyranny of the tiny. Sometimes, like Uncle Zaius, we don't know what we're talking about. Sometimes, like those Sadducees, we are so busy looking at a blade of grass at our feet that we missed the grand vista that God has stretched out before us. And when that happens, the message Jesus gave to the Sadducees is the same message he gives to us. Get busy being part of the kingdom of God. Get busy caring for your neighbor. Get busy living out the gospel. Maybe Uncle Zaius Ledbetter had it right all along. We do need lights in the church. Let the light of the gospel shine through you. Amen. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come to
judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Lord God, we come this day with joyful hearts. Joyful at the wonder of your grace in our lives. Joyful at the opportunity to give of ourselves to you. Lead us in greater seeing and experiencing of your love. Fill us with generous hearts and an excited faith. Hold us close to your heart and dwell in our hearts forever. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Savior, our cups overflow with your blessings for us. The bounty and wonder of your hand in our lives is so often so much more than we can grasp. We praise you for your wondrous mercy and love. Merciful Lord, as we honor our veterans and their sacrifice for us, remind us daily of your sacrifice that makes us new. As our veterans have given themselves to make our land safe, remind us that you made us your people and that you have sealed us as yours. Lord, in your mercy, compassionate Redeemer, redeem our world in your love. Reach to those who are afraid and alone, to those who are hungry and hurting, to those who are sick and who struggle in life. Bless all your children, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, living God, move from our heads into our hearts. May our faith be a living thing inside us that holds us and leads us to be your witnesses daily in word and in deed. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
us pray. God, our Creator, you give us all we are, all we have, and all we bring, and all we need. Draw us together around your table with all your saints on earth and in your eternal home. Let us eat and drink your promise of new life, that we might be your promise to the world, spoken in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy are you, God of God.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, surrounded by evil and bordered by death, we appeal to you, our sovereign, our wisdom, and our judge. We praise you for Christ, who proclaimed your reign of peace and promised an end to injustice and harm. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, the sacrifice of his life and death, and the victory of his resurrection, we await with all the saints his loving redemption of our suffering world. Send your Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine, on all who share in the body and blood of your Son. Teach us your mercy and justice, and make all things new in Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Mercy on us, mercy on us.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, God, our host, for inviting us here to taste the future when you will feed all the hungry at your table. Keep this hope alive in us and in our communities, so we might bring hope to a suffering world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.